We were unwrapping some more presents back there.
No, it's Lisa bagging stuff in the garbage bag.
Oh.
You should probably stop doing that.
Do you know how podcasts work?
This is a very much a safe space right now that we're working in, a quiet room. And no, I mean, I'm talking to her. Like, she's not sure how the podcast studio works.
Oh, I thought she was hiding from relatives.
She could be. She's doing that too. It's kind of a double whammy. He said you're hiding.
That is a true story.
Okay. So she's hiding mostly from our children though. Second my parents, but mostly our children.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Okay, she's back in the bag again. One more thing.
Okay, I'm going to be timing you.
Okay, I think she's done.
One.
All right, she's having a nap now.
All right, let's do the show then.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 417 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
What's going on, Adam?
Back from Christmas, so we're post-Christmas, pre-New Year's right now. I don't know when this is going to get aired, but...
This will air New Year's Eve.
Okay, so survived our trip to Vernon, just got back into town only to experience 7 hours of a power outage. Basically, from the time we got home until, which was around noonish until dinner time, no power. So we had to find things to do.
Oh no. And that was after like 5 days.
Of being away.
Family.
Yeah, being away. And yeah, thankfully, my nephew had a hockey tournament in town. So we went to one of his games and then we went out for lunch. And so we killed some hours. But yeah, no, had a good Christmas. How about you?
Well, depends. Do you want the yearbook answer or do you want the truth?
I want the yearbook answer.
Awesome Christmas then.
Okay.
No, I got to
see you next year.
All right. Okay. First of all, Amazon, if you're picking up candles for the power outage, get them on Amazon. Get them
or
before the
Boxing
power
Week.
Out.
Is that a thing on Amazon? Boxing Week special?
Who cares now? I think everything's free now.
It's a sale for 2 months pre and post Christmas.
Well, it's funny. It's funny that we mentioned that because that actually ties into why I had, legitimately, I'd say this with no exaggeration. We had the worst Christmas day of all time, of my life.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I mean, short of somebody dying, nobody died, nobody got hurt. But just in terms of Christmas, it was actually terrible.
Okay.
And part of it, I'm going to go ahead and blame on the fact that everything's free and everybody lives forever now.
Okay.
So Amazon, go to Amazon anyway. Don't worry about Boxing Week. Everything's free the whole year. Click on it, buy it there, it comes to your house. Click through our site, help us out. So
let's hear. What went horribly wrong?
Well, actually, I need your perspective. I wouldn't say advice because there's not much you can do, you know. The poop is already out of the horse, so what are you gonna do?
Okay.
Is that the phrase? I don't think it's poop.
No, I don't think. Horse is out of the barn.
Yeah, but you can't get the poop back in the horse.
That's true. You can get the horse back in the barn.
Yes. So so it's not so much advice, but perhaps you can give some perspective.
Great.
Because your kids are about
11 and 9.
Four and a half, probably 4 years ahead of mine.
Okay.
Is roughly. I think yours are both four, like each of your kids are 4 years ahead. So, and you have the daughter who's older. And this is what I'm getting at. So my daughter, who is 7 and a half, essentially threw a monkey wrench into Christmas.
Okay.
Started it off. Now, a little insight here. Christmas in Germany is Christmas Eve. They do the 24th here.
Okay.
So we'll go to the in-laws' house or have them here or whatever it is and, you know, have nice dinner. Actually, not even nice dinner. The tradition here isn't nice dinner. It's hot dogs and potato salad. I'm not even joking. What we doing? But anyways, so we'll have that, and then you know, Weihnachtsmann or Christkind, which is kind of weird, will show up and bring the presents, and then the kids open the presents.
Okay.
In the evening.
Right.
So we do that. We do that. But we also, we want to preserve the Canadian Christmas tradition, which is Christmas morning.
Right.
Where you have the stockings and some presents. And so we don't double up on the presents. We essentially take the presents and split them and do half the night before, half, you know, the morning of. So we did that, but already starting on Christmas Eve, my daughter, who, as I said, was 7.5, started to already be a snot rag about the presents.
Okay. The number, the quantity?
Yeah, everything. Just the number, the quantity, what it was. Her brothers were bigger, and he had more, which was not the case. Was untrue, but it was just all about and just didn't care, and was already just kind of ripping through it and not really caring, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was kind of a hint of it. It wasn't crazy. It was the next morning when she woke up and we went downstairs and did the whole thing and I think I've blocked most of it out of my just like a PTSD.
Yeah.
And she basically just blew a tantrum and did not care about her present. And just, that was it. And like blew the whole day. We normally, you open the presents, you have some fun. We make breakfast. We'll have a nice family breakfast.
Yeah.
Spend the afternoon lazing around playing with whatever toys they get or puzzles or whatever and have a nap and then make Christmas dinner.
Right.
Which for us, we don't do the turkey. It's not a big tradition here. My wife's vegetarian, so I said, well, you know, it'd be great if we made cabbage rolls and pierogies, like homemade. That was the plan.
Sure.
We did none of that. There was no breakfast. We canceled dinner.
Oh no!
It was just a complete mess. Like, and which she wouldn't let up. And
this
and
is just your immediate family, or is there extended family involved?
Just the four of us. Just the four of us.
Yeah.
And so at some point I was like, all right, well, we're not having Christmas ever again. Like I was legitimately rattled.
Yeah.
Like extremely rattled. Like, and so my wife was like, well, you know, she's kind of blaming me.
Right. And she's like, Canadian traditions blew it for everybody.
Yeah. She's like, well, you bought her too much stuff.
Oh, that's what it is.
But so you tell me, I need to know if I bought her too much stuff.
How many things?
Okay, I bought her big present. She's never had a new bike before.
Okay.
In her life. I went out, spent the 2 days before Christmas driving around to all the different bike shops, finding the exact perfect bike for her.
Right, yeah.
Bought her a bike.
Okay? Yeah.
That is all.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I bought her nothing else.
Yeah, one big present is just fine.
Yes. So, okay, so my wife is projecting.
A couple of little like stocking things, right? Like some chocolates or something. Like something.
Well, they had enough chocolate because we do the advent calendar here too.
But like socks or something.
She definitely got,
yeah.
Her stocking was socks and underwear and
shampoo. Yeah. Yeah, those are kind of part of the tradition for us as well. So yeah, one big item like that, absolutely more than enough. My kids didn't get one big thing. They got just a couple of small things. But
now the problem here, here's the problem as I was getting at with, in all fairness to my wife. I mean, so we, you know, like my parents are a long time ago. They split up a long time ago. My mom's remarried. My dad's living with someone. So he has somebody. Like, so there's four of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't get together and buy one thing for each of my kids. They each want to buy something for the kids.
Right.
So my dad will get the kids something. My mom will get the kids a couple of things because that's what she does, you know. And then we have my wife's parents, and then there's my wife's aunt wants to get them something, and so on and so on. And there's a few different people who, my sister, you know, wants to get them things. So they do get a number of things. And so people, like I said, people live forever, and there's a million relatives, and like my kids both have great grandmothers still.
Right.
You know, who are in their 90s. And so they get them something. They give them cash, actually, which is fine. And so point being is they do get a lot of things. But what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to say, well, they all want to buy them something, so I'll just get them nothing?
Mm.
Is that what I should do?
No, I think your daughter getting a new bike, it's on her. This is,
yes,
this is 100% on her. Okay. I mean, she's how old is she now? Six?
Seven and a half.
She's 7 and a half. Yeah. That's just one of those things that I think kids have to go through. And I mean, mm-hmm. we did, because for us, we went through this a little bit with Jack, nothing close to the degree that you're talking about, just even this year. So he's 9, and we had gone to an NFL football game that we did a couple months ago, but because of the way the schedule worked, it was meant to be a Christmas present. This was the big Christmas present. The kids decided they really wanted to do this. There wasn't a game that we could make it to after Christmas. This was the game. And so mm-hmm. it was a team we wanted to see. We spent the money, we went, and we said, as a result, we're going to make Christmas small because this was a big expense. Kids were all fine with that. Of course, that's 2 months prior to Christmas. So when it came time to Christmas, we held to our word. We got a couple of small presents for Christmas, and for Jack, he was kind of like a little sad that, you know, there was only going to be whatever it was, 3 things to unwrap. And then I had the sit down conversation with him. Now, a little easier at 9 than it is at 7 potentially, and his personality, you know, I knew this conversation would be easier than had I had the same conversation with Sarah. She's older and didn't need this conversation, but was, you know, this is really not what it's about. This is one of those things that, again, he needed to hear. I don't like the fact that you care so much about the number of presents. And, you know, that passed in 20 minutes and he was fine, right? So, and Christmas morning came, we had this conversation the day before, there was no issues, but I just think it's one of those things that's going to happen. I'm sure everybody at some stage is going to go through it a little bit with their kids, especially if you're not willing to buy them 8 million things.
And that's the thing is I'm trying to dial it back because they get everything. They get things for Easter, exactly, and all this stuff. Exactly. It's nonsense. And a lot of times during the year, like I'll see something for my kid and be like, oh, this would be a great birthday present. Well, his birthday is in 5 months. So I'm going to have it sit upstairs and not be played with. I mean, he should be breaking it now. I mean, like what about the 5 months between now and then, you know? So like but my whole thing is, I understand the part of Christmas where you buy your kids a ton of toys or presents so that you get joy watching them unwrap it. And that's this weird thing that I'm trying to avoid.
Right.
And so that's why I said, I'll get the one thing. But for me, it was legitimately heartbreaking. I will say, I was devastated because, and part of this is me projecting a little bit because I really spent two evenings driving all around, like different cities around, trying to find the right bike, because bikes are complicated now, by the way, and not cheap, which I don't care about the money, but I was like, you know, all the kids, oh yeah, like the 7-year-olds, they all want mountain bikes. And so it's got 21 gears.
Right.
And I was like, well, no, she needs 0. I had a Kuwahara, you know, the kid from ET had a Kuwahara. You can get a Kuwahara. Like you don't need 21 gears. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like you're going to be changing gears and get hit by a car because you're not paying attention. That's my, right, my feeling.
Right.
And so anyway, so I look around, so I'm driving all over and talking to all the guys at the bike shop and about different things and stuff in German, which is always stressful for me. Not stressful, but you know, it takes some effort. And so finally I pick it out. I get the right color. Like I have it all dialed in and I'm very excited. I'm very excited for her that she's going to get the color she wants, et cetera, et cetera. And then it was just a complete kick in the nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. I think just she's normal. That happens. And okay, she'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think
you might not be, but she will be.
It took some time. Like I was like, that day was like, okay, well, like I said, we didn't make dinner. And, you know, then my wife and I had a big blow up because, you know, she's yelling at the kids about other stuff. And it was terrible. It was legitimately terrible.
Right.
And so basically I said, well, the bike's going back then. If you're going to behave like this, that's that, the end. And then she was, you know, she was suitably devastated. But I said, like, in the end, I need you to understand the value of this bike, not the cost, but the value of this bike.
Yeah, you know what I mean? She's not going to understand that. And she's not going to understand that 5 years from now either. So until they legitimately start working and buying things and appreciating, you can't. That's the society, the world we live in is that kids, they get everything they want all the time. Even, you know, middle class, lower class. Like, it's just they have material things are nothing to them. And they won't be until they spend, you know, 40 hours a week in a McDonald's in front of a fryer and put a value on what that means and how you acquire these goods. They just can't understand it. So good luck. Yeah. Good luck with that. Yeah,
I know it's a battle I'm going to lose. But so the bike went and sat in my office for 2 days. I just sat there. And so every once in a while, she'd kind of sneak in my office and like ring the bell. And so she clearly wanted the bike and she felt bad and everything like that. But it took 2 days. And so the stores were closed here, obviously Christmas Day and Boxing Day. And so I said, you know, like on Christmas Day, I was dead set that this bike was going back. Like it was, I don't want this as a reminder. It's just a reminder of like the worst Christmas of my life. And then I got over it. I was like, okay, this isn't about me, et cetera. I kind of got over me being, you know, kind of a crybaby. But she'd come in there and sneak in there and kind of ring the bell and stroke the seat. And like she knew, she clearly wanted the bike. And so we talked about it. And so every year for Christmas from one grandma, one of her great grandma, she gets cash. I told her she gets 50 euros every Christmas, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And so this is Christmas number, what, 8. So she's got, you know, got a few hundred euros just in the bank.
Right.
And so I basically told her, I said, and so my son too, my son who just turned 5, he gets that, they gets the same money too. They have no idea how much they have or how much a bike costs. Like you said, like there's no attachment to it. But, and I said, okay, well, you want that bike, I'll sell it to you now. Like you basically, we'll go to the bank, we'll withdraw all your Christmas money, all the Christmas money you've ever gotten from your Oma. And I'll take that and you can have the bike.
Yeah, it still doesn't mean anything.
No, she's like, just like, no way, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I still think that's different. That's because that's, she has done nothing to get that money other than time has passed. And so, so I could see in that scenario, a lot of kids, maybe not your daughter, but a lot of kids being, okay, like that money means nothing. And that's the same thing we've had with our kids because they've accumulated a bunch of money and they have, you know, whatever, Sarah's got like $700 and thinks, oh yeah, I'll just drop that on a new phone. And we're like, no, you won't. But then the argument is, well, that's my money. That's my money. But that's what I had the big conversation with her about, this earned thing. You can't appreciate what $700 is because you've never stood and worked and earned. So they still, even at that older age, they still don't have any appreciation until they actually earn it. Found money is very different than earned money. And so again, yeah, she doesn't want to lose that money, but at the same time, she didn't do anything.
She doesn't know why, but the plan, I mean, obviously my plan, which she should know, she's probably smarter than me at this point anyway. She would have known. We would have gone to the bank and then at the last second I would have said, okay, no, you obviously, I'm not taking your money. I don't want her money. I want her to understand, right? She's never going to understand.
Nope.
And I don't even want her to understand for me. I want her to understand so that when she rides her bike to school, she doesn't just leave it in the bushes somewhere. Like she actually takes care of it, you know?
Right. That's what I want. She won't do that. She'll leave it in the bushes. Yeah.
She might. So anyway, so I said to her, I made her the deal. I said, okay, we go get all the money that you've been given for Christmas. You give it to me, you can have the bike. And she obviously said, no way. It was all angry. And then my 5-year-old son came up and said, Daddy, you can have my money. I want Emily to have the bike. I'll pay for it. And I was like, well, you're the nicest kid in the whole world. Even though Adam says you don't appreciate the value of money, it was still a cute gesture. So
yeah.
Screw you, Schwartz. Anyways, so that was it. I mean, so it's all calmed down now. We had Christmas dinner 2 days later.
That's
on the
good.
27th.
All right. I'm glad. I feel bad for our listeners right now because we're 1.5 episodes without any photography talk.
But that's the other thing. Like that's kind of what ties it together.
Okay.
Is that normally I take some photos on Christmas. I try not to go overboard anymore. Like I used to when they were like, you know, my daughter was 0 and I liked her. And now, but I will take pictures, and especially for my relatives who are still back in Canada, they kind of expect it. Like, Hey, send some photos. Well, at some point I stopped, I just didn't take photos. I was like, well, why would I photograph this? You know? And then I did, you know, take some, my son was still having a great day. He got a slot car set, like the little two race cars that go around, electricity.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that. Yeah.
It's a little slot. It's the Carrera Bond. It's what it is in Europe. So sure. Anyway, so he got that. He just absolutely loves it. He thought it's the greatest thing of all time. And so I got pictures of him. But I did not go through and edit. I've edited none of the Christmas pictures because I just was angry and couldn't do it. I was like, mm-hmm. You know what? So I'm getting emails from my mom like, hey, looking forward to some Christmas pictures. No pressure. I'm like, yep, not coming. Yeah, go sit by the mailbox and be disappointed because I'm not doing it.
I haven't had a chance to go through mine either. I just got back, as I said yesterday, in the
power. So you had a better Christmas. So just to put a bow on mine, no pun intended. We're okay. You know, I figured this is probably a phase. It's a phase I never went through because Christmas was. I liked Christmas. I think I did, or maybe I'm misremembering it. I don't know. Point being, things have kind of calmed down. We'll see next year. We may or may not have Christmas. It's a coin toss.
Okay.
I bet you had a good one, though.
I had a good one, yeah, and took lots of photos and haven't gone through them, like I said, because of the power outage yesterday. But we'll get to some, and then I will maybe include some more photos on next week's episode once I put a few together. But yeah, we had fun. We didn't have the snow that we usually have in Vernon, so the backyard sledding was a disappointment. So we had to make our way up to the mountains. Silver Star is a big sort of ski resort that's, you know, 45 minutes or so from where my in-laws live. So we went up there and did the tubing on the mountain where you basically, you know, it's giant tubing runs. There's like lanes and you go in giant tubes, and then it has almost like an escalator system to pull you back up to the top with your tube. So it's great. It was busy. And so
it's like a conveyor belt, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically it's exactly that. And so we did that and the kids liked that. So that was one day. And then another day, we had heard that they had sort of a toboggan hill very close to the peak of Silver Star that friends had told us about. And so we went there for one day of tobogganing, which was perfect tobogganing. So we got a couple of tobogganing outings and a little bit of failed attempts in the backyard. But yeah, we had fun. Oh, and I should mention, I did buy, I don't know if we spoke about this on the last episode or not, I asked for an action camera, like one of those knockoff GoPros for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I did get that. I got what's called an SJ Cam 4000, one of these knockoffs that was on Amazon that had really good reviews.
The 4000?
SJ 4000.
Yeah, the 4000 is a piece of crap.
It's quite awesome.
No, I'm just joking.
The beauty of that one was a lot of them now are these knockoff ones from China that are 4K, and the 4K looks terrible. And so this is a 1080p. That is very good. It also can do 720, so at 60 frames per second. I don't know what it looks like, but anyways, it was great. I got it. Got the included battery, however, not good, especially in cold weather. So we took it out to the tobogganing run because I only got it at Christmas. So we went tobogganing up at Silver Star on the Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, and it died on a full charge after about 30 seconds.
And so
I went online just to sort of say, okay, that doesn't seem right. And apparently that's an issue with the included battery. So I quickly ordered a 3-pack of batteries that are much better off of Amazon. So I will try it out again. But I can tell you already, the batteries, even at room temperature, are quite a bit superior to the included one. So a bit of an issue with the SJ Cam's included battery, but
I didn't know you could take the battery. Like mine, you cannot take the battery out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is very easy to take the battery out. So I bought a 3-pack for $24 with a charger. The charger also charges it 10 times faster than the one that I had to charge via the wall USB that was included with the little charger. So all in all, I think this will be much better. But yeah, I read a whole bunch on the internet about other people having the same experience with the SJ Cam. When you get about -5 or cooler, it just dies right away. So
right, okay.
So yeah, anyways, I think I'll be happy with the camera. I took a few kind of indoor videos and I thought the video looked great. And there's a little app because it's got this a Wi-Fi enabled camera, so you can watch the videos on your device or whatever, but easy mm-hmm. to even control it from the Wi-Fi. Oh, and there was another little thing I bought. This was so I got the little camera. And what else did I get? Oh, I bought on the App Store, I bought like a Wi-Fi booth for a photo booth. So it basically, okay. what it allows you to do is, you know, when you try setting up your little photo booth, I don't know about your camera, but I don't love it when you set up the photo booth and children, or even adults for that matter, are constantly walking over to your camera, which is on the tripod, and you know, checking the photos and display, and like I just don't like it. Right. I don't want my camera to get knocked over, and so I thought I like doing the photo booth. I just don't want them interacting with my camera. So with this app, it's a photo booth app, but it allows you to connect your camera to the iPad, let's say. So you put the iPad on a little stand, and then mm-hmm. it's synced to your camera via Wi-Fi, and then you basically have people, if they want, interact with the iPad, and they can, you know, look at their images, whatever. You can add little kind of effects if you want. You can put a mustache on someone. You can do whatever kind of things the app allows you to do, quite a huge array of things. And you can mm-hmm. put, and it does a countdown so people know when the photo is going to be taken. 3, 2, 1. It even takes a little video clip if you want of the in-between, which is kind of funny, like what people are doing in between when each photo is snapped.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, for the cheapest version, because there's a pro version that lets you do certain things and blah blah blah, but the cheap version was $10 and I bought it and quite happy with it. So I think it's called
Wi-Fi. And it works with any camera, like any Wi-Fi camera.
It shows you all the cameras that are compatible, but all the main cameras that have Wi-Fi it's compatible with. Yeah,
nice.
So anyways, just thought it was something fun, and yeah, I had gotten some iTunes gift cards for Christmas, so I thought, oh, this is perfect, this is something that I would like. And now people don't have to be touching my camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
Good. I don't like people touching my camera or checking. I don't. You know my policy on LCD screen, anyways. I just don't do it.
But for a photo booth, it's kind of part of the experience, right?
I suppose it is. Although in the old days, it's like you had to wait a couple minutes to get your film pictures back to spit out. And I guess. I guess. Quit being a grumpy old man, Al.
Yeah. The app is pretty slick though. The only thing about the cheap version that I got, the non-pro version. So the pro version I think allows you to print to a Bluetooth or Wi-Fi whatever enabled printer, and uh-huh. When you save the photos, it'll do a little collage or it'll just save them one at a time, whatever you want. But it just goes into the sort of My Photos section of your device, and then you'd have to export them from there. Versus the more expensive paid versions allows you to directly like put people's emails in. Like, I guess if you're doing an event or a party, so you title the event, collect people's emails, and then it just have it sent out. So it saves you a few steps versus needing to go into your photos on your device and then export them individually. Like, it's a couple more steps. You're still going to get the end result. But there is a free version of that app available. It just, of course, watermarks your photos, so you can at least check compatibility or whatnot before you buy it. So anyone out there who's looking at, you know, doing this as sort of a fun thing and doing it on the more regular basis, this streamlines it greatly. It does require you to shoot in JPEG though, so you can shoot RAW and JPEG, and on your camera you're going to get the full RAW version if you want to edit. But the idea in the app is that you're going to shoot it in JPEG, and then just basically be able to export it to somebody right away.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right. I think I told you about this. This is just changing gears a little bit. For Christmas, I every year I make a calendar using Vistaprint. I'm not a sponsor yet. Hashtag, we'll find out in the new year.
Okay.
Okay. They do a great job. So I make a calendar of my kids, you know, for all the different OMAs that we talked about, et cetera, et cetera.
I did as well, just FYI.
Vistaprint?
Yeah, Vistaprint, and give it to my parents, usually make them 3 or 4 copies. They give it to a couple of other relatives on each of their sides. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that's generally my move is I'll order a couple here on Vistaprint .de, the German one, get a couple sent here, and then I'll order the rest on the Canadian version and have them sent to my sister, who then distributes them in Canada. But this year, since my sister was here last week, I had them all shipped here, and she just took some home with her. But point being, so I got six of them, which with the sale price was ridiculously cheap. Cheap's not the right word. Cost effective, because they are fantastic quality.
Yeah, I agree. I've never had a bad version.
So I did get a bad version this time though.
Oh no!
So I ordered six of them. Five of them came through fantastic. The sixth one was not my family.
Oh, awesome.
It was a family from the French side of Switzerland.
Did you pay for six, first of all?
I paid for six.
Okay, so you got one of those that you paid for with someone else's family.
Correct. So awesome. The way the order broke down, I needed five. I was going to buy five, and then it was like, you can add one more for like $2 or something like that, €2. And then if I wanted to add two more, the next one would have been like 10 or 12 or whatever it was. But there was some sort of a break point that they were tricking me into buying a sixth calendar for $2, which I did. I said, that's no problem. I'll give it to somebody. So I got five. Awesome. One came in, and it was just, they were not good. I showed you some photos. They weren't good. It was like, you know, some bearded dude in a hot tub with an iPhone.
I think you should display this calendar at your house.
Yeah. Oh no, you don't know the bullet you dodged, because my sister flew home, and she flew only carry on, and so I didn't want to overload her with too much weight. I was very, very close to wrapping that up and giving it to her to give to you for Christmas.
Oh, that would have been beautiful. I would have put it up.
Yeah, you would not have put it up. You would have had a good laugh over it, and not so much. I mean, they're probably nice pictures for these people, and obviously the quality isn't as good as someone who hosts their own podcast about photography. Anyway, point being is I shot off a quick email to Vistaprint. They apologized and sent me a new one, obviously at no extra cost, and made it right away. So all good. All's well that ends well.
Awesome.
But the photos were, well, I sent you a couple. What did you think?
They weren't good.
They were not. So I'm now wondering, did somebody else get my photos?
Maybe.
That's a little weird. Now, you know, I'm assuming they kept them, but, So, all right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
Yes.
Wait, let me remind everybody, first of all, monthly challenge next week. Doing the monthly photo challenge for December is Christmas cards. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge. Hashtag hey hosers, and we'll try to get to it through all of our whining. Now you did shoot something interesting. Go.
I shot our yearly tractor photo.
And let's talk about that. You sent it.
Sure.
Let's talk about that. Okay, so every year or most years you go up to the in-laws.
Yeah.
They have it. They're obviously hill people.
Sure.
Okay, they have tractors. That was a joke. Come on now.
Yeah.
All right. Don't take it personal.
Okay.
And don't tell them I said it. And okay, so you take a picture every year of the family on a tractor.
Yep.
Why the tractor?
It's our tradition. I don't know, because they have sort of farmland and therefore they have a tractor. But the tractor is one of the old red sort of classic looking tractors, not a big green, new fandangled version of a tractor, but sort of
a John Deere.
Yeah, an interesting looking.
What's the make on it?
I don't know.
You gotta find out for me.
All right. But it looks like a tractor should look from 50 years ago. I don't know how old it is, but I'm gonna guess it's something in that ballpark. And and so we just have made it a tradition of taking a tractor photo as an annual tradition, and then they usually display the photo in each of their houses. So, and usually until they don't keep them all up. So usually they just kind of replace each year. Although last year's was really good. But yeah, so we had an overcast day and I set out to do this but
next year they'll replace this one.
I'm sure they will. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This one's not, I'm not saying that this one's great. We only took four tries and people, were either not positioned right. We had some headgear that got in the way of people's faces. So there was only one where there was no obstruction from anyone's face. So I used this one. Also did not bring my tripod this year. So so because again we were flying, so I didn't have a tripod, so I had my little Joby GorillaPod thing, and in order to get it at the right height, I had to sort of hook it onto a ladder, and it was all very precariously set up. So I basically had a very short amount of time to work in. So we took four shots, and I was not positioned in the spot that I finished in this photo until the very last photo because of needing to do the run-in and worried about my camera. And so people said, oh, just run in front. So I ended up getting in a position. I like where everyone else is positioned. I just don't like
that's
my
position.
That's what
I'm position. Getting at, yeah.
Yeah, but as it is, I could use one of the other photos where I'm in a better spot, but I feel like I'm going to take this one for the team because mm-hmm. everyone else looks pretty good.
They do.
Yeah.
Now, so when I said that it would be replaced, I like this tradition. First of all, it's a great tradition. I like trackers. They like photographically, they work, and the location, etc. So my four main beefs with this photo.
Okay, let's hear.
Two of them, not really your fault.
Okay.
One of them, not enough snow. That's more Mother Nature than you. That's the heat miser.
This was actually the best day for snow. Right. It was bare. Yeah, we didn't get the snow this year. So yep, okay, nothing you can do
not
about
your
that.
Your fault. Second of all is your position. Now, good for you for taking one for the team. So I'm going to erase my criticism because that you're thinking of everybody else. You do look awkward in this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It was either this or one knee, but I didn't really want to go back into the house and have to change my pants. So,
no.
So I was like, yeah,
Looks like you have to change your pants after this though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
I had to get low enough in order for the people that you see behind me, which I couldn't see. And you know, the run in, you've got whatever it is, 8 seconds. I don't know if it's 10 seconds, whatever it is to set the cameras mm-hmm. and then run in. So, okay. I understand that, Chris. And that was my biggest fault with this picture was my position. Yeah.
Yes. Next, more egregious than any of the other ones is, what's with your brother-in-law? Too cool to wear headgear?
Yeah, he didn't want the headgear.
Everybody else rolling headgear and just too cool for school up there.
Yeah.
No thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We tried. So we tried to get it on him.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. I mean, he does have a full head of hair, good for him. It's not that good, though. It's not nice hair.
No, no.
It's not Sam Malone by any means.
No.
So get over yourself, man. And then lastly, this one is a very minor one. I get the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the family wasn't that into it this year.
Really? I kind of like their smiles. I think
their smiles are nice. Their smiles are very nice. I'm strictly going by, and this, I could be completely wrong on this one. Your daughter did not tie up her boots. So my impression was you guys, all right, fine, we'll run outside, quickly snap this and get back in the house.
Yeah, I think they had just come from their cousin's place. They were at, my brother-in-law's house. All of the kids were. I was not. And they had just come back to my in-law's place. And I said, oh, it was tractor time. So they just had taken their stuff off. So they were quickly throwing it back on. So I think that's where that was. No, I think everyone was fine as far as into it. Again, I got four shots at it before that was enough. People were done. I probably, as far as what I give to my in-laws, I probably am going to give them one with me in a different position because mm-hmm. I'm not going to want them to print this one for in their house.
Right.
I'd rather someone else eat it for the one that's going to be printed in their house.
Fair
but
enough.
I don't mind photographically for the purposes of this podcast eating it because I like the fact that you can see everyone's face a little bit better. The best photo of all, my father-in-law is in a different spot. I could always post that photo too, but he's obstructed by my sister-in-law on the far left. She's in a slightly different spot and she's wearing a hat that with those antlers and the antlers partly blocking his face, but in every other way, everyone looks good. So that's probably the one I'm going to send to them for their wall.
Gotcha.
Yeah. My father-in-law doesn't mind. Yeah.
This is great. The exposure is great. Like it's not easy to do. I mean, you said you have an overcast day, which is nice. It makes your life a little easier. But exposing for faces and for what snow there is, not easy to do. Great colors. 50 mil lens?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all in all, it is a great photo. Your brother-in-law messes it up.
And I have to take a poop.
Yeah, well, that too. And, you know, but in all, but you get a pass for taking one for the team, though.
All right.
All right. Geez, we're running out of time here, man. Interesting stuff. I went and shot some sledding this couple weeks ago. We had some snow up in the, I don't think we talked about up in the Schwäbische Alb. There's some bumps, not quite Alps, but they're little bumps, bump foothills, not too far from us. And they get snow when we don't. And so it's about a 40-minute drive, probably something like that. So we went up there. Like I said, my sister was in town, so we took the kids up and did a little sledding. And my son, so it wasn't quite as much snow as we're used to, and still a little bit of grass poking out. And the, what's the translation? Like it, the animal called a malvur, like a gopher or something. It's not a gopher, but it's something like that. Like a hedgehog, maybe? No, eagle is hedgehog. Malverf is like what they dig. They dig under the prairie dog. I don't know.
Sure.
Obviously, they dig and leave little hills, right?
Okay.
So it's called a Malverf Hugel is what my son just saw that. So they were all sticking out of the snow, and my son was hitting everyone he could. He thought that was the greatest to smash into those. And so that's what you're looking at there with him headlong into a Malverf Hugel.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah, he liked it. He got pretty dirty, but he was having a good time. And then today, so like I said, I didn't go through most of my pictures. There's a whole stretch of pictures I have to go through once I stop pouting. And then, but we went ice skating today. My wife's brother was in town with his family. He lives in Germany, but not here. And so they came in with his two kids. We all went for a nice ice skate at the place that we normally go, which was, it was very cold. It was like -4 inside, but they have the windows open, so it was very sunny. And so you get like what I think to be like the coolest light in any rink I've ever seen.
Okay.
And so very, very crowded today, unfortunately, but I did snap this photo. And for whatever reason, I just love what's going on, the smile on my son's face and the lighting. I just absolutely love the lighting here.
Yeah, it looks cool.
And I've done nothing. Like, this is all, well, I've put myself in the right position, but basically that's sort of 3/4 side light, back light, rimming him, and then it bouncing off the ice up into his face and lighting his face. And it's just like the most perfect light trap. And so I love the colors and just wanted to post that one. Again, this is the 40D 30mm lens, will not die. Love the colors it spits out.
Okay.
All right, let's get into the photo challenge already. Sure. Holy cow, it's blowing by here. So I forget how he worded it because it was a few weeks ago, but basically it was a wider shot where your subject is not filling the frame. We want to give context, like an environmental portrait, essentially.
Sure.
All right, so you posted two, I think.
Yeah.
Which one is the one?
I don't know. It could be either. One is a little bit wider. I guess the one of my daughter and her aunt's a little bit wider, but I like the one of my nephew kind of walking back up the hill after sledding. So let's go with the walking up the hill.
I'm going to post them both, but let's talk about that one. Okay. So here's your nephew who is, and I'm going to say 9.
Yeah. He's 9.
Yeah. 9 years old.
And a little bit of a rascal. Yeah. And it was a, he was out there tobogganing with my mother-in-law and then my two sister-in-laws. And again, there was limited snow, but they were having a good time. And he really likes me. And you cannot get
he's
this.
He's the one.
Yeah, he really likes me. So in the family, he's my go-to guy. But anyways, he's walking up the hill and he's not very cooperative when it comes to taking photos most of the time, but he was cooperating a little bit. And I have some other photos that are more posed looking big smile photos, but I don't know, for whatever reason, the perspective on this one, I like this was using the wide angle lens. I don't have the metadata in front of me, but I'm going to say somewhere between 24 and 28 millimeters, something like that. Mm-hmm. And yep. So he's real close to the camera, but this was at the time of day, I'm going to say something like 3 o'clock, 3:30, where the way the sun sort of like, we didn't get much sun at all, but there was a little spot here where the sun from camera left is kind of coming through and just hitting a little slash across the mountains. And I saw that light and I didn't know how long it was going to be there. And I thought, all right, I'm going to wait till he comes close to the camera and then I'm going to shoot a shot with that light in the background. I think it's going to look cool and it's going to kind of break up the image. And so there it is. So you get with this 28 millimeter and a subject that's close, you get a whole lot of background. Now I could shoot this with the 50 millimeter or the 85 millimeter and just blow at the background, which you would lose really kind of the uniqueness of this photo is the background. Mm-hmm. So you get kind of a whole bunch of context by using the 28 millimeter. The key is keeping your subject in the middle of the frame, because if he gets to the outer edges of the frame, then he's going to look distorted. Whereas from this, from this vantage point, he actually looks perfectly fine as far as his proportions.
I bet you read that in a book somewhere.
I read it in Chris Marquardt's, no, I knew it already just from trial and error, but yeah.
You did know it, but he mentions it in the book.
Yeah, he does talk about it, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Well, now, this isn't exactly what I had in mind, and so my perspective is a little bit tainted on that, so I'll leave it up to the listeners to decide if this is, that's not fair, because just because I have a preconceived notion of what it should be, like this specific topic, this specific challenge, if it doesn't fit in there, maybe it's me. I could be the one. So I like this photo, though. That's the thing, is this is not your typical photo. You for a long time, you didn't shoot this way, neither did I. I would never think to be shooting a lot with the 17 to 40 in this situation. You shoot with the 70 to 200, sit back and just get these beauty shot after beauty shot.
Right.
Whereas this is really great. I mean, what I like about it is showing the context and you know, especially as much as you like it now, I think in 5 years you'll like it even more because you'll have all that context in the shot.
Yeah, and I think the important part takeaway for me is with all these shots is if the context is not just the context, if the background is nice or good, you would want to include it. Like this is the perfect scenario where why would I want to blur that any of that background out? This is again a very big part of the image, and so blowing this out and seeing a blurry background here seems like a complete waste.
It is, but the instinct, especially in the situation where you're used to a lot of snow and making like this beautiful white blanket, and then like the hills are covered. And so this, in retrospect, in reference, in comparison is the word I'm looking for, third time a charm, in comparison to that, this is not the ideal background. However, it does look great. Like I really like the fact that it's in perfect background without the perfect blanket of snow, the grass sticking out, etc. But what I really like about this, besides, you know, the look on his face and the smile and all that stuff, but what's going on, is this image will say a lot. Again, in 5 years, you look at this, and this has a lot of feeling to it, in the fact that if you look in the foreground with the shadows and like the snow, it's got a really like a very small hint of blue to it.
Mm-hmm.
And in contrast to the golden part in the background, and that is very much the feeling. I've been up here where you're speaking, where you're taking this photo, and that's the feeling there. Like in that the shadow falls off blue, it's towards the end of the evening, you're about to go inside, probably have some hot cocoa, something like that, go sit by the fire, and that's a really great feeling. And this will, you'll remember this feeling in 5, 10, 20 years.
Okay.
All right, that's why we shoot that way. All right, so I my shot was, it's also from a sledding day. Same day as the Malverhugel. And this is my daughter getting ready to go up the hill.
It's very much a contextual shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the contrast, like the color that she's wearing versus everything else is very muted. And again, a lot of negative space. There's things I like about this photo. I don't know, a little bit of movement I think would be better. Like if she was in stride or there was something else, she's just kind of stopped. That's my beef with it. But I do like the colors. I like the fact that that she stands right out. You know what the subject is immediately. And the context part of the shot definitely helps in this case, as opposed to if this was, you know, again, a close-up shot where you just saw her.
Which I did take some of those, and I have some of those, and the colors are better. Like there's no tricks here to the colors. Like this was the colors as they were on the day. I could have ramped up the
colors
saturation.
Are sled.
It's gray.
Oh,
silver.
That's
it's a
just
silver sled.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah. No, I never thought about that, 'cause I know what color that is. It does. It looks like I've done the Schindler's List move.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I did not. Oh, good point. I never thought of that because I do know what that looks like. Good call. Nope. Silver sled. This is a color photo. 100% color photo. No tricks.
Yeah. And you do see a little bit of color in the houses in the back. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. And then, you know, a little bit of the grass poking through and it was just, this was what it looked like on the day. It was that sort of mist had kind of blown in. It wasn't tremendously a nice day. A little bit of snow here and there, very cold, but this was the feeling on the day. And so, like we spoke about when we, it was the last two episodes ago, you have to look for things to make your subject stand out. And so I think it's very clear that my daughter is the subject here, is the main subject. And so one of the things I use to make her stand out is the colors in her jacket and her toque and her mitts. So
good job.
There you go. Yeah. All right. We all win.
Yeah.
All right. Topic this year is the year in review. So we'll try to sum up the year in the next 4 minutes.
Okay.
And figure out what's going to happen in 2019. Although, how do you know? So Adam, what was some of your takeaways from 2018? I'll start if you'd like. I'll get the ball rolling.
I have one, because I didn't think about this until right now. I remember you saying, oh, you should think about this. And then I forgot over Christmas holidays. And then I forgot that what the episode was until you just said right now. So I have one.
Well, maybe I have some stuff I'll bring up next week too. So, for example, remind me, spoiler alert, remind me next week to talk to you about spaghetti and meatballs.
Okay.
Okay. We didn't have time. We didn't have time to go into it this week, but I want to get your take on it and also some of the listeners who can possibly weigh in. So looking back on 2018, what is your one thought?
My one thought is I love having a wide angle lens that I like to put on the camera.
There you go. So I marked down a couple things that I bought, a couple purchases I made this year. And so for you, it was the 17 to 40.
Yeah. 17 to 40 is probably the biggest game changer for me from a photographic standpoint this year. Actually, it's absolutely is that end.
Which is weird because you had a 19 to 22 or whatever.
Yeah, but it was such a crappy quality lens, and it focus was so slow that I could only use it in certain situations. And so now the speed of the focus plus the wide angle and just the ability to go to 40 mils, like just I love what this lens looks like at 40 mils. So just having that in my bag, like sometimes 50 mils, especially, you know, inside, sometimes it's just not quite enough space. And so to be able to just get back a little further and still at 40 mils, everybody still looks good. It's just a nice tool to have in the bag. Plus being able to really create that sort of weird warp perspective from, you know, 17 or 19 millimeters shooting from low to high, all sorts of cool things you can do. So, I'm a big fan of having that wide angle. And one other thing that sort of a renewed, rejuvenated love for taking video. So started with some of the hockey stuff and been playing around. And over Christmas, I did take some videos as well. Having the 6D, you have to be really kind of, it's challenging, but you have to be really good at the manual focus part of it. So I do enjoy it. And getting the external microphone is a big help. So you get some really...
You did get it?
Yeah, didn't I say that last time?
I think
time?
You mentioned you were going to get it.
Yeah, I did get it. So my parents had given me a little Christmas present money, and I used it to buy
This was the Rode, the Micro?
Yeah, the Video Micro. So
same one I have, yeah.
So anyway, so that having that is nice, and then getting this little action camera, all of it really renewing my interest for doing video. And the kids love watching video, so I'm going to shoot more video in 2019.
Ah, looking. You just doubled up. Looking back, looking forward.
There you go. I'm all done now.
Well, I didn't think I had much, you know, to talk about. But guess what? I did. I bought my Mark II, 5D Mark II. It was dying. I was just getting ready in July to go back to Goodwood to go and shoot, which is one of my highlights I'll talk about in a minute. And, you know, it was still working, but it was sketchy. And so I was going to buy the Mark IV, and then they couldn't find it. And I said, forget it. And ended up getting lucky and finding a brand new, previously owned Mark III, 5D Mark III, not too far from my house, which was a surprise. And so that became my go-to camera. And I put the 5D Mark II up in the attic. And the other day I brought it out and thought, you know, maybe, you know how sometimes you put things away like that and then, you know, miraculously they work again. And so I thought, oh, I'll pop a battery in it, put a lens on it. And, you know, it was working intermittently before. And now it's a complete paperweight. So it will not work at all. And so I'm debating either getting a screwdriver and me and my son sitting down and just taking it apart for fun and looking at all the pieces, or walking around town on a crowded day in the springtime or the summer, you know, in the marketplace and pretending to take pictures and then just drop it and get into a fight with somebody.
But what lens would you put on it?
Well, that's the thing is I thought about that too. I'd have to do it like where I'm changing lenses. I'll have an assistant there. I'm changing lenses and hand on the body and drop it and then, you know, get a big, I don't know. I think maybe I'll just take it apart with my son.
Yeah. Sounds better.
Sounds like a little more educational.
Sure.
So, anyway, so there's that, but I did buy a 24-105, which is a much longer zoom than the 17-40. And, I bought it strictly for video and it turned out I loved it. Cause I'm, you know, like yourself, I'm kind of a huge prime lens snob. I couldn't see at the time why you'd want a 24-105 for still photos. I still don't see it. But for video, it is outstanding. For the kind of video I shoot, the 17-40 for what you're shooting is like perfect. Sometimes I need to get different coverage and tight shots as well. But the 24-105 with the image stabilization is actually a game changer for me for shooting DSLR video. So that's changed a lot of the way I shot. But the biggest change is something I bought at the end of 2017, but really started using it this year, really getting into it, was the X100, the Fuji camera. And wow, the more, like, I got into it even more, like, starting in, like, September, October, I was getting better and better at it, using it, and just love that camera. It just for the camera, but also for the way it changes the way I shoot. Shoot a lot more wide, like it's essentially a 35 millimeter equivalent, and thus I shoot context a lot more than I ever used to.
Right.
And I'm loving it. So that camera goes with me a lot of places. It's so easy to take. I think I've talked about it every second episode last year, but it's been a game changer for me and really, really glad I made that purchase.
Okay.
In terms of shooting though, I found this year that I shot far less often than I have in the past. I tried to wind it down a little bit last year, but even this year, I don't take my camera everywhere. I go a lot more places without it, and I find I haven't missed anything.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and then when I do bring it, I shoot less when I have it. So right. I don't shoot as many photos or nearly as often, and I find. Now, I don't know how this was for you. I mean, you probably realized this long before I did that you're not obligated to shoot photos for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt like that, like, you know, and actually you and I, that would be kind of funny. You and I experienced that in Vancouver, like, I don't know, like 7 years ago, where we both went to the same Christmas party or something like that. I didn't bring my camera because I thought you would, and you didn't bring yours because, you know, you thought I would. And O. Henry rolled over in his grave, and yeah. The party still happened. It still worked out.
Yeah. I think of it in terms of, you know, after you've done the same things year after year, tobogganing or family get-togethers are both examples of this, are, you know, you go into people's houses and then you see what photos did they print, right? And so once you realize, okay, I don't need 200 photos of sledding because, you know, I know what one photo they're going to print. And so once I have that photo, which can be usually taken in the first 5 minutes, you end up stopping a lot quicker because after that, you're like, okay, well, I got the photo that they're going to print. Now I can stop, right?
And so for me, I make each of my kids gets a photo book, a photo album each year of their top photos of what I decided are the top photos. I pick 100 photos from the whole year, which is 2 a week, which is a lot, objectively speaking. But by not shooting the million photos that you just talked about and stopping once you got a good one, it makes your life a lot easier when it comes to making that photo book.
Or calendar, I agree.
Yeah. Or the calendar, yeah. It's really quite simple. And so shoot less, but shoot better. That's really kind of what I would suggest.
Okay.
Highlights. Did you have any highlights, like personal highlights photographically?
No.
Okay. Everything was one long highlight reel.
I off of the top of my head, in terms of a highlight, I really can't think of a specific. I really did get a lot of gratification out of doing the black background team photo that I've never posted because I still haven't asked people for permission. But the team composite I did for
we know what it looks like.
My son's hockey team. Really, really enjoyed doing that. So that was probably a highlight. Took a lot of work. The end result was fantastic, and I've never received more appreciation from a single photo than I did from that one. So. Not that I require that. It's just it is nice because when you spend all those hours, it is nice to get paid back with a thank you. And I got that. I was overwhelmed with the amount of thank yous that I received on that photo's behalf. So it was great. So that was probably my one photographic highlight this year.
Nice. I got to shoot at Goodwood again, both photos and video, and that was that was rewarding. It was a little different trip this year, like a little less hectic because Adam Carolla was one of the featured people at the event this year, which meant he got great run times the middle of the day instead of first thing in the morning and last guy at night.
Right.
And so those were very, very hectic days, getting up really early and getting to the track and fighting traffic. But this time he was kind of a VIP. Not kind of, he was the VIP. And so we got to kind of go right in the middle of the day. But that was a lot of fun to shoot, and such a great event to be at. I feel like it's something I had never heard of. And if I was into cars, which I like cars, I'm not a car guy. Like, I can gap my own plugs and change my own, you know, flat tires and whatnot. But when you get there, you see what real car people are, like car guys and girls. Like, they're really into it, and it's amazing. And so if you have any inkling of automobiles or whatever and can get over to there, I would suggest going to one of the events, either the Revival or the Festival of Speed, which is amazing because the access you get, like if you want to walk up to Goldberg, for example, and say hello, you can just do that. Like, he makes himself, everybody makes themselves available. You can go see their cars. You can go see them race. Like, it is a really amazing event. So check that out. I had a good time. You and I went down to Seattle for one of Adam's shows.
Yeah.
And that was a highlight as well. And going on the cruise and shooting a bunch of stuff and meeting a lot of nice people. That was a highlight for me. And then the last thing was, it's kind of a very minor one, but I did my annual video project I shoot in November for the corporate job back in Vancouver, which I ended up, the deal is I make a, they hire me to make a short film.
Quiet back there.
So they hire me to make a short film, like a 15-minute movie every year. And it's like a real movie. I get shoot it with coverage, et cetera, et cetera. But this year I got to shoot it with minimal equipment. No lights. There was, two small mic like wireless, not wireless, but like mic packs, the recorders that you wear, and just shot with the 24 to 105 on one camera, and it was just such a minimal amount of gear and able to get what I got. It's the future's bright, my friend.
Okay.
All right. So for 2019, that's looking back. 2019, a couple things. We'll try to make this quick. I do want to have more guests on the show. And so that's always been kind of a goal to expand and hear from more people in areas of expertise. On a personal note, what I would like to do is I want to shoot more on location lighting. I have a you know how many flashes I have now?
A lot.
8.
Wow.
I have 8. Well, I can't stop picking them up because they're in the $15 bin at the used camera store, and they're in great shape. They're great for off-camera lighting. And so I want to shoot more sort of on location lit photos that don't look lit.
Okay.
That sounds like hard work. I forget that. I don't want to do that at all.
They're going to look lit.
No, they're not going to look lit. They're going to look amazing.
Okay.
I'm just not going to do them because it sounds like a lot of work.
Right.
So forget it. Forget I said that. For 2019, though, there's something I want to float to you and the listeners, and I'm kind of working out the details in my head as this is coming out. So I don't know if this is possible. I'd like to make this possible. Okay. Part of it is I'm gonna make, first of all, I want to go to Vistaprint, make sure they're a sponsor. And if they are, because they print great calendars, here's what I want to put out. For 2019, I want to put out a photo calendar of strictly from the listeners' monthly challenge photos.
Okay.
So each month, we'll pick out what we think is the best one. At the end of the year, we'll put together a calendar, the Two Hosers listener calendar, and sell them online or wherever, all proceeds going to some sort of charity.
Okay.
So this will not be a moneymaker for us, et cetera, because I don't want to get into that, making money off other people's photos, that kind of thing. Maybe people don't want to do that. But I think that potentially all of our listeners would buy them. Or some of them would be interested in supporting the fellow listeners, and we would then have to we'll pick some sort of a charity.
Yeah, I think if your photo challenge wins a month, then you should get a vote for what the charity is, and we could take suggestions from listeners for all the different charities, put up a list, and then let the winners, because it's their photos that are going to support this book, let them get a vote. 12 people get a vote to what charity it goes to.
There is one that already kind of caught my eye. It was the Al Attridge Private Jet Cocaine Fund.
Okay, all right. Well, you can float it out there. I still think they have to vote for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely leaning towards that one.
Okay.
No, I think you're right. We'll take some suggestions, but also, I mean, just, I want to find out if we can do this, if anybody's interested. Like what are the pitfalls of this? Is anybody going to throw a wet blanket on this? I would hope not. So we're all ears. Let us know if that's something that we should pursue.
Maybe that'll get more entries.
Yeah. And again, the idea for this isn't necessarily entries for us, it's entries for each other and the interaction, et cetera,
exactly.
which people have written me and told me that is actually happening a lot. Some of it behind the scenes where people are getting together and who don't know each other, but are mutual listeners of the show and are, planning photo walks or whatever it is. That's pretty cool. I'm really glad to hear that. So if we can do that to publish a 12-month calendar at the end of the year, give the money to some worthy cause, then I think that would be kind of a cool thing to be part of.
Okay.
Okay. And of course, we'll put our birthdays on there as well.
Sure.
And link to our wish list. Come on. Now you're making it weird, Adam. Okay. Why do you got to bring that up? All right. So that's it. That's the plan for 2019, assuming everyone's into it. Photo challenge next month or next week is the monthly challenge. That's Christmas cards, which I'm sure you've already shot. If not, better get on it. I've seen a few of them out there. It's going to be a tough one to beat this month, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to beat it.
Have you seen some of them out there?
I have not.
No. Go to Instagram, check it. Before you submit yours, go check them out. It's a lot of good ones.
Okay.
So hashtag that Two Hosers Monthly Challenge or hashtag Hey Hosers on Instagram. And we'll talk about that next week. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
Find mine at AlanAtridge.com or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week. Get out there and make better photos.